Thanks for listening to the Refuel Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for a new episode.
If you have your Bible, definitely open it up to Psalm chapter 3. If not, I got the words up here for you to read. But how many of y'all are Nintendo people? Ben did not raise his hand. How many of y'all are Nintendo people? And I was like, I thought that would be right on. Okay, so how many of y'all are Mario Karters? All right, so you know how it works when you're racing and when you're doing Mario Kart and you get to the third lap, what happens?
Blue shell every time.
Well, that, there's that, but I mean, what happens to the music? It goes like, ta-da-ta-ta-da-ta-ta, and then it starts speeding up, right? And when that happens, you're like, it's on, you know, like no distractions, nobody walking in front of the TV, like the pressure is on, and you get real nervous, like me anyway, get real nervous on that last lap, because I know I'm going to be coming right up to the finish line, some stupid shell is going to come right up, and just, you know, Princess Peach, I got bad things to say about her. Anyway, so when the third lap hits, the pressure's on, right, and you feel that weight, right? Sometimes in our school years, I feel like this last month is kind of like the third lap in Mario Kart. You ever feel that way? It's like, not literally you hear this. If you do, you may, yeah, I got some people I can refer you to. But like, it seems like in your mind, the music starts and everything's going fast and you're just trying to keep up. Some of you, you're already doing the calculations in your head, like, what's the lowest grade I could get, like, on this final test and still get the grade I want in this class? And I'm only going to put this much effort into the rest of my school life, for those of you that are seniors. And then some of you are on the opposite side. You're doing the math, and you're trying to figure out if you're going to be able to pass a class. And like, you get on, Schoology? And you see like, oh, I've got a missing assignment, a missing assignment, a missing assignment, a missing assignment, and a missing assignment. And your parents are like, you got missing assignment, and a missing assignment, and a missing assignment, and a missing assignment. And things can kind of feel like they're closing in on you. It's not always school. Sometimes it's things that are going on. You know, people get a little salty towards the end of the school year. I mean, you've been trapped with the same people for like 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. And you've realized you hate them all. And they've realized they hate you. And like the drama starts hitting a fever pitch. And you feel like you're in the middle of it. Sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with the school year. It's just the fact that things aren't great at home. Like the relationships aren't great at home. And it feels like there's just no way out. Tonight, as we go into Psalm 3, we're calling this this kind of Bible study together here, When Life Falls Apart. Have you ever felt like that? Like, this is my life. Maybe it's not your life right now, but it's been your life before. It's just like, I always say trouble is kind of like ducks. You know, if you go to Barbersville Park tomorrow and pray, you'll see ducks. Trouble's kind of like ducks. They all show up at one time, and they all quack at you at the same time. And it feels like things are closing in. We're going to look at actually a song. It's a psalm that was written by a guy named David. And what we're going to learn tonight, I hope this isn't too corny. I always try to boil it down to one sentence, and I hope this isn't too corny. I hope it's not like a dad joke or something. But maybe it is, and maybe you'll enjoy it. But this is kind of, if you boil it all down to what we're going to talk about tonight, it says, when everything falls apart, only the peace of God can piece your life back together. Yeah. It's kind of a pun, kind of a dad joke, but it's true. So open up to Psalm chapter 3, and as you open up there, you're going to look at notice a few things. The first is that it's the third of these psalms. The second thing you're going to notice is it was written by who? It says it right there. David, right? And why did David write this psalm? What does it say in some of your Bibles? When he fled from Absalom. I've never met a person in life named Absalom. I wouldn't suggest naming your future children Absalom. And I'll tell you why. This was written by David. Do we know anything about David? Well, we know he was a king. He was a king that God chose for Israel. We know that for the most part, he was a righteous king, but he wasn't perfect. He had a real big oopsie where he cheated on his wife and then had that lady's husband killed. And then he became like a guy that had multiple wives, and that's not good. And those multiple wives had multiple kids, and the kids started fighting, and that's not good. And one of those multiple kids from multiple wives' name was Absalom. And Absalom decided, hey, my dad's king, but I think I want to be king. I think I'm going to like stir up an army to try to kill my dad and become king on my own. You read about that in 2 Samuel chapters like 15 through 17. And what happens is Absalom, David's son, he actually gets a lot of people in the country of Israel to go with him instead of King David. And King David has to flee. He has to leave his palace and he has to run for his life because his son is trying to kill him. And that's when David wrote this psalm, where he was writing this psalm to describe what was happening and how he felt and what he did and how he prayed to God during that time. I like to think, I can't prove this, but I think that he wrote this psalm as he was, it says that he ran up, he was fleeing, and he went up to the top of this mountain called the Mount of Olives, and he stayed there for a little while. And I can't help but wonder if that's when he wrote this psalm. And they call it, this song is a mourning hymn. So it could have been that when the morning broke, David wrote this psalm. But before there was a morning, there was a night. And David was going through some stuff. Have you ever gone through some stuff? Are you going through some stuff right now? If that's the case, let's read this psalm together. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. Selah. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but everybody say Selah. That's going to be, we'll talk about it. Don't say it like creepily. Just say it normal. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill. Say it again. Okay, there you go. I lay down and slept. Hey, that's a nap. I'm all for naps. Anybody here love naps? I lay down and slept. I woke again. For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. Some of y'all, that's going to be like your little like Instagram beautiful like scripture that you quote, like, strike my enemies on the cheek. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Wow. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Oh, let's try that again. Your blessing be on your people. Selah, very good. All right, well, let's pray, and then let's talk about three things that David did when he was surrounded and his life was falling apart. God, I pray that tonight, as we look at this special psalm, the short little song or hymn or prayer that was written by someone whose life was falling apart, God, I pray that we'll see how we should respond when things, difficult things, bad things happen in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So imagine you're David and how difficult of a time that must have been. Your own son turned on you, a family member turned on you, and not just turned on you, wanted to kill you. You were used to like living in like a pack. I'd imagine living in a palace with like these plush pillows and like people like with those like palm branches, like, you know, fanning him and feeding him grapes. You know, that's what April does for me at home. You know, she feeds me. No, I'm joking. It's the other way around. But David left this royal, like really incredible, like setting that everybody would want to be, and now he's running for his life. So what are the there are three things that David did here. They all start with A. I got A words tonight. They all start with A, that we should do when we're in trouble, when our life is falling apart. The first thing that we see is that David admitted his troubles. I got this picture here of this dude. I don't know. There's no context for this picture. Like, I don't understand the picture. But I'll notice a few things. The first is that he is sitting down and looking pretty calm. But all around him is fire. And this picture reminds me of the way that people respond at church when you ask them how they're doing. You know what I mean? Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Or if you're real spiritual, you know, your life's falling apart, but somebody asks you how you're doing, you want to sound real spiritual. Oh, I'm fine. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. But you're literally on fire. Like you're like this guy. And what we see David did was he actually admitted his troubles. Look at what he says in the beginning of Psalm 3. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? You know how we talk about, you know, you need to look for repeating words when you're reading the Bible? Do you see it here? Which one is it? How many are my foes? I'll try that. Many are my foes. Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him. Remember I said troubles are kind of like ducks. They all kind of run at you at the same time and quack at you. Well, that's what's happening to David. David is surrounded by ducks. And by ducks, I mean his son and his son's soldiers that are trying to kill him. It says in 2 Samuel 15:12 that the conspiracy grew strong and the people with Absalom kept increasing. So David's son, who is leading this revolt against him, more and more people are going with Absalom. And nobody's going with David. There's just a small group of people that go with David. But what did David say? Did he say, God, things are just great. I'm on fire, but things are just great. No, he said, many are my foes. Many are rising against me. David was honest with himself and God. You know, we say this sometimes, and at Refuel, we actually mean it, that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay when you're coming through the doors of the park and we ask you how you're doing, it's okay for you to say, my life is falling apart faster than Britney Spears' life is falling apart. It's okay to say that. I mean, maybe not that, but it's okay to say, I'm having a tough time. David was honest with himself and God. You know, sometimes we think that when we pray to God, we have to pray in like Elizabethan English. And we have to use beautiful flowery words, and it's okay to do that. But how does David start out? He actually breaks a lot of the prayer rules that we sometimes put on ourselves. We always say, oh, you should start by praying with a prayer of adoration, a prayer of thanksgiving, thank God for who he is. What does he say? Lord, there are a lot of people that want to kill me. That's like his opening. That's like his segue into prayer. You know, it's okay to be real with God. He admitted his troubles, and his troubles were many. You know, some of his troubles were really of his own making. Remember how I talked about how David messed up in a big way a few years ago? And literally part of the reason that he was being hunted by his son and the civil war was going on is because of the mistakes that he made in the past. You know, sometimes trouble follows us, and if we're honest, yeah, we're the cause of the trouble. We're bearing the reason you're stressing out about your grades is because you spent 4 hours on TikTok instead of doing your homework assignment, and now you have missing assignment, missing assignment, missing assignment. But you know, it's still okay to share your troubles with God. You also notice David, when he was admitting his troubles, that a lot of people thought he'd never get out of it. What does it say here? It says, many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. Everybody's saying, hey, David, I'm going to make it through this one. Everybody, you ever realize that everybody's talking about you? Have you ever found out people were gossiping about you and talking about you? How does that make you feel? How do you think that made David feel? But you know, they're just not saying, what they're saying here is more than just saying, oh, David's probably going to get killed. David's probably not going to be king again. It says they're saying, of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. It's, if you read between the lines, it sure seems like these people, they're saying, oh, yep, see, David cheated back in the day. Ain't no way God's going to forgive him of that. His chickens are coming home to roost. He brought the drama in. He started this problem, and now he's paying for it. And all the, you know, all those girls are like, mm-hmm, that's what happens when you run. And everybody's talking. Did you like that? Was that good? Okay. But do you see what's happening? We kind of laugh. We kind of joke. It's funny. But do you see the issue here? Is that people were saying, even God ain't going to save him. Have you ever had people Not just talk bad about you, but talk bad about your faith and your relationship with God, and maybe even mock you for your trust and your belief in God. What we know is that David was someone who was saved. He looked forward to when Jesus would come, and he trusted God's promise to bring a Messiah. And God even promised, hey, David, the Messiah is going to come through you. The one who's going to save you is actually going to be a descendant of you. But they say there's no salvation, no deliverance for him and God. And then there's that little word. Remember, I had you say it like a million times. Selah. There's a big discussion about what this word actually means. And yeah, we're definitely not going to have that tonight. But it seems like it's a musical term. And it's almost like a term for an interlude. You know what I mean by interlude? Like sometimes we'll have a song up here and it's time for like Hudson to be over here just shredding on the guitar. Nobody sings. You know, you ever notice like on Sunday mornings we have some, like sometimes the praise band will be doing a song and there's this interlude where the musicians are just playing and everybody's just kind of like looking around like, hey, what are we supposed to do here? Like, who are we supposed to look? Yeah, I feel like it must be awkward for the singers on stage. But like, hey, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to look over here? Are we supposed to just like stand like this? Or the point of this term, it seems, is for an interlude where the music will play as this psalm is being sung and people just stop and think about what was said. Does that make sense? So maybe for Selah, you could say, stop and think about it while the music plays. So David admitted his troubles and he said, I'm going to stop and think about this a little more while the music plays. David admitted his trouble. When your life is falling apart, when you're going through stuff, what's the first thing you need to do? You need to admit that you're going through stuff. You need to be real with you and God and sometimes others. What did David do next? David then, he affirmed his trust in God. He affirmed his trust in God. This is what I call, and we did a whole series on this a while ago. You know where I'm going with this? It's what I call one of those big buts of the Bible. You know there are a lot of big buts in the Bible? I'm not talking about your grandmother. Sorry, I'm a little unhinged tonight. I shouldn't be unhinged tonight. April's already giving me the look. You know there are a lot of big, you know what I mean when I say a big but of the Bible? It's when there's a terrible situation, but God jumps in. And David's talking about all these terrible things that are going on in his life, but he says, it's almost like his focus changes from looking at all the stuff going on in his life to looking at God. He says, all this stuff's going on, but you, O Lord, and he says three things here. You're a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. There's a really cool song written by the Brooklyn Christian probably knows it, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, that lists these three things. But he says, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to focus on who God is, and not just who God is, but who he is to me. And first he says, you're a shield about me. That word for shield, it kind of has to do with, it's like, you know, like the Avengers shield? All you Avengers nerds, it describes like a circular shield that would be like about this big, maybe 2 feet in diameter, that like a soldier would use and he could put it, you know, anywhere. If he was a Jedi, he'd be really good with it. You know, he could put it anywhere to stop an enemy attack. So it's talking about that kind of a shield, but he says, you're a shield about or around me. So God provides that protection, not just right here, and not just right here, but right here, and right here, and right here, and right here, and right, I feel like I'm doing the Macarena. Right here, and right here, and right here, and right here, and right here. It says, I'm surrounded by protection from God. David wrote this in another psalm. He says, God, you hem me in front and behind. He says, I'm surrounded by terrible people. I'm surrounded by people that want to kill me, but God is someone who protects me. He's a shield. Then he says, my glory. What this means is that even though David, think about how humiliated David must have been. Like, a few days ago, he was the king. He was the boss. He was calling the shots. He had 1 million followers on Instagram. 2 days later, he's just running. I mean, he's running, and everybody's laughing at him. He felt shame. Have you ever been talked about by other people and you felt shame? He says, who I am in God is where I'm going to find my glory and my worth. It's not dependent on whether I'm living in a palace or whether I'm camping out on a hill. And it doesn't matter whether everybody's talking good about me or everyone's talking bad about me. I'm going to find my worth in God. You know, we find our worth in God two different ways. First, every human to ever exist and ever created has worth in God because we learned that, we talked about this a few weeks ago, we as people were created in the image of God. God formed us out of the dust of the ground, and he made us in his image, in his likeness. And then he blew into our lungs the breath of life. There's not a person that's walked this world that's not been created in the image of God. So first, we find our worth in that way just because of the fact that we're a human. Look at the person next to you, say, you're human. Even if the person next to you doesn't look very human, tell them they're human. But there's a set... I don't want to lose you doing that. There's a second way that we find our worth, though. There's a second way we find our worth. And this doesn't apply to every human. This applies to the people. Up here, guys. This applies to the people that have trusted in Christ as their Savior, that have believed in God for salvation. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, when we believe in God, we become a child of God. We become adopted into his family. David was one of those people who looked forward to when Jesus would die on the cross. He trusted in that Messiah. He trusted in God's promise. And David was saved by faith. So not only was David worth something because he was created in God's image, he was worth something because his sins were bought and paid for by Jesus on the cross. And he would live forever with God. So he says, I'm going to look to you, God, for my glory. I'm not going to look to the status I have around me. And then it says, the lifter of my head. Pretty cool. We don't have time to get into all the imagery. But essentially what David was saying is that I trust that one day, God, you're going to make things right. And one day, even the people that are mocking me, even the people that are putting me down because I'm still trusting in God, because even though everything's going on around me, one day it's going to be proven that I was right for trusting in God. And hey guys, we're up here. It's not always easy being a Christian. It's not always easy looking around. It seems like everyone else is doing better than you are, and here you are trying to trust in God. But we look forward to the fact that one day it's going to be worth it. My glory, the lifter of my head. Then he says, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I cried, he answered. Isn't that cool? That every time you pray to God, God answers. Not always the way you want, not always the speed you want, but he answers. It doesn't say I had a very orderly discussion with God. It says I cried to God. I didn't have time to put all my words in Elizabethan English. I just said, God, I need help. And God answered. Peace is a prayer away when our life is falling apart. So think about that. David affirmed his trust in God. He said, I admit I have problems, but I'm trusting in God. Final A word. David anticipated deliverance. He anticipated deliverance. The rest of this section of this psalm is really cool because you almost can see once David, he admits his problems and he affirms his trust in God, his soul starts waking up. Have you ever been in such a deep depression or such a deep, dark season of your life that you thought, I'm alive, like, but my soul may never wake up from this? You can start to see, it's almost like, you know how in the spring, like, you see a little bud on a tree and then it starts opening a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and then all of a sudden this beautiful, you know, green and yellow pollen is like in your nostrils and you're dying. But almost like a flower opens up in the spring. You see David's life being reborn, re-emerging, reopening up. First, you know, sometimes we tell you, I ask you to ask God for big things. We've talked about that before. Pray to God for big things. Ask God to do great things in your life. You know, sometimes when we're in this difficult time of our life, when our life's falling apart, we need to ask God to do just for little things, for little victories. The first little victory that we see in David's life, I lay down and slept. Can I get an amen? I love that word. Sleep is a spiritual thing. God did it after he created the world. I laid down and slept. How hard is it to sleep when your life's falling apart? Have you ever laid in bed at night and you were tired but you couldn't sleep? Because in your mind is going on all the stuff that is surrounding you and all the bad situations in your life. You know the difference between people that don't know God and the people who know God? It's that even in the middle of all this stuff happening, you can have peace. A relationship with God brings you peace to piece your life back together. He says, I laid down and sleep. One of my favorite verses is in the next chapter. It's chapter 4, verse 8. When I can't sleep and I'm worried about all the things going on and how situations are going to work out, I'll bring this verse up on my phone and just read it till I fall asleep. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He says, I laid down and sleep, and then I woke up. And my son hadn't killed me. You know, Absalom had not found me. God kept me safe the whole time I was sleeping. I'm glad I slept and didn't spend my whole night worrying about if God was going to keep me safe. He did. I woke up again. So, peaceful sleep, a new day. And then God starts giving him courage. Look at this. He says, I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me. Don't you wish you could have that courage? You know, you can have it when you trust in God. You have it. You can have it when you give your life to God and continue to trust in God and give your problems to God. You can have it. And then he has future hope of deliverance. Look at this. Look how confident David is. He says, arise, O Lord, and save me. That's a good prayer to pray, right? Save me. Oh my God. He says, you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. This had not happened yet. David was still running for his life, but he trusted it because God was a just God. And because God was with him and God was for him, he would deliver him. And then he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing will be on your people. What David is saying is that God can deliver us from the most impossible situations, and he can give us peace in the process, even when our life is falling apart. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So all that to say, when everything falls apart, only the peace of God can piece your life back together. You know, when David was anticipating deliverance, the greatest obstacle in David's life that he ever faced was not the fact, it was not the fact that his son was trying to kill him. The greatest obstacle David ever faced in his life was the same obstacle that I've faced, the same obstacle that you face. It's the obstacle of sin. David sinned in a very public way. But we know that we've all sinned. Some of us sin in private ways. Some of us have been caught in public sins. But it was David's personal sin that separated him from God and the peace that comes from having eternal life in God. But he looked forward to God's promise of a Savior. He trusted in him. And he banked everything on it. He let his whole life ride on the fact that there's a God who could save him from his sin and who wanted a relationship with him. So is your life falling apart? Do you want the peace that David had? And do you want to have it in your life? You know, there's not a person in the room tonight that doesn't have to leave not knowing the peace of God. You can leave tonight knowing the peace of God. How? By trusting in Jesus. Jesus already did the hard part to win us back to him. He died on the cross for our sins. And by trusting in him, we can be given eternal life. Hey, Annie, up here, please. Thank you. We can be saved by trusting in Jesus for eternal life. Will you trust Jesus tonight if you haven't? In a minute, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that decision. But before we leave, let me give them to you. I'm just going to give them to you rapid fire. Some steps to take from this message for when your life falls apart. You know how I try to alliterate? Well, I got double alliteration tonight for these. They're all D words and F words. Ready? Here we go. The first one, distinguish between facts and feelings. That's what David did. First, he said, these are my feelings, God. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. And then he says, but God, you are a shield around me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Distinguish between facts and feelings. Ask, is this a feeling or is this a fact? The next is double down on friendships. One thing we didn't get to talk about here was that David had, it wasn't a big group, but there's a group of people around him that was helping him and that was supporting him. When you're going through stuff in life, the first person you turn to is God. But you know what God does? He puts people in your life to help you. One of the scariest and most dangerous places to be in your life, whether you're a teenager or an adult, one of the most dangerous places to be in life is for your life to be falling apart and you're shutting people out as it's going on. We're here for you. You're not alone. Double down on friendships. Find a good friend. Find a good friend. Please talk. Please don't keep it inside. But then it reminds us, we also need to be good friends to people. There are people sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you that are going through stuff. Their life is falling apart. And by you coming alongside them and saying, hey, can I pray for you this week? Hey, is there something that I can do to help you? You can be a good friend and you can help people as their life is falling apart. The next, the bros are going to like this one. Don't neglect fitness. What do I mean by that? Do I mean like you need to go punch out like, you know, 1,000 deadlifts? Boom! Is that what you need to be doing? David slept. David did things, take care of himself, and trusting that God would take care of him. Take care of your body. God gave it to you. David slept. Why can't you sleep? Then the final thing is decide about faith. Everybody goes through things. It's part of life. The only thing worse than having your life falling apart is having your life falling apart and not knowing the one who can put it all back together. You're going to go through difficult times in life. I go through difficult times in my life. But I have a Savior to turn to. I have a God who helps me. I have peace in my heart. And you could have that too tonight if you trust Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to give you the opportunity before we're dismissed. We're getting out on time, yay. Before we're dismissed, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to God in one of two ways. And the first way is this. I want to ask you this question. Do you know for sure that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven? Do you have that peace that David had? Do you have the peace that I have? Do you know you have a relationship with God through Jesus? Do you know you're going to heaven someday? If not, I'd like to give you the opportunity right now to put your faith in Jesus. Jesus died in your place for your sin so that you can have eternal life with Jesus that starts now and lasts forever. Will you trust Jesus right now to give you eternal life? If you're ready to trust in Jesus, I want to provide a simple, silent prayer that you can pray in your heart. I'll pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. If you're ready to trust Jesus tonight, and tonight you're putting your trust in Jesus. So if that's you, quietly in your heart, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself by my own efforts. But I believe that Jesus died in my place for my sin. I trust in Him alone to forgive me for my sin and to give me eternal life. I receive the free gift of salvation right now. Thank you for saving me. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if that was you tonight, and only if that was you tonight, what I want to ask you to do, only if that was you, if you trusted Jesus based on His death on the cross and not because of your own effort, not because you said a prayer, what I want you to do is I want you to look up at the screen right now. There's a number on the screen. What I want to ask you to do is if you trusted in Jesus, I want to ask you to text yes to that number, 304-208-8066. What's going to happen when you text that number is that later this evening, if you're a guy, I'll send this to you. If you're a girl, April's going to send this to you. There's a little digital pack, little digital file that we're going to send that has some Bible verses in it to help you get started in your new relationship with Jesus. We want to be there. We want to encourage you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to bring you up in front of anybody. We'll text you later. and help you get started in your walk with Jesus. But if that's you and you trusted in Jesus, look up and text that number right now. The second response I want to ask is, maybe tonight you know that you're saved. You have that relationship with God, but you're just going through things. I want to ask you to do two things. First, tonight, in the last 2 minutes we have, to do what David did and be real with God. Take your troubles to God. Tell him everything that's going on, the things you're feeling, the things you're going through. And trust that he's going to take care of it. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to talk to somebody tonight about it and to receive encouragement from someone. It could be one of our Refuel leaders. Our leaders are going to be standing out there by the door as you leave. If you need someone to talk to, someone to pray with you, we would be glad to do it. Maybe you came with a friend and you just need to stop and tell your friend the thing that's going on in your life. Don't be silent. Satan wants you to be silent. So in the time we have, I'm going to pray us out of here. And as I'm praying, if you need to give some troubles to God, trust God with something, do that quietly in your heart as I'm praying. God, we love you tonight, and we thank you that you're not just with us when everything's great, but you're actually with us in a special way when things are not great. And God, I pray tonight for all the situations that are represented here. People like to trivialize, like to talk down the troubles that teenagers go through, but they're real trouble, and it creates real issue in their lives. So God, I thank you that you care what they're going through. And God, I pray they'll know that we care what they're going through. I pray they'll do what David did, take their troubles to you and trust that you're a great God who loves them and that you will deliver them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Refuel Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to review the notes from this podcast, be sure to download the Refuel app from the App Store on any mobile device.